I wish you a wonderful good morning. I hope you had a restful and refreshing night. This will be our last full day of our retreat. It went by like a storm, a Buddha storm. It is maybe our most important day. Maybe it's difficult to say what is the most important day, because for everyone the most important day is when some Krishna conscious realization happens in the heart, and that is individual, that is independent of the program actually and of the lectures. It is dependent only on one thing and one thing only, that is Krishna's mercy. That is the most important day for us, when we can feel the mercy of Krishna. But as far as our work as your facilitators of this retreat is concerned, we think today is the most important day when we chant our 6 hours of kirtan together. Again, I want to request you to really tune yourself in, to make sure that you give, so to say, the last of your, I can't say the last of your energy, but make a special effort to be there for these 6 hours, because I have noticed that in that last Sankirtan, where we all come together as a community, the retreat community of Retreat Isle Ish 2013, yes, that we all receive our individual gifts from Krishna. I saw that because we have done this now a few times, this last final kirtan in Vrindavan, particularly in the holy land of Vasana, where we have our japa and kirtan retreat each year together with Buriram Prabhu and the Vrindavan Institute for Education, Higher Education. I highly recommend to you, if you can make it to Vashana either this year or one of the following years, and experience a holy name retreat there, it is a different dimension, because you have the Taraka and Paraka Shakti of the Dham working together with the holy name on your heart. It's really something special. So yes, today is a special day, and I will want to prepare you a little bit. I will not talk much today, but see whether you have some questions. I got the feedback yesterday from two very advanced devotees that yesterday was a subject where questions and answers should have been there, and I agree 100%. We already have one very good question by Akrura Prabhu, which he will ask in the beginning of the question and answer session, and if there are questions from your side, please make sure that they are clear to you when you ask them. In other words, think a little bit how to phrase your question so that it is really to the point, and then we can engage in a hopefully very enlivening session. Kunya vihari.
Jana Raja Jana Rani Jana Yasoda Nani Jana Raja Jana Rani Jana Jamuna Tira Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Ridyantasto Hyapadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Vidyantasto Shabadrani Vidunoti Suritsata Yes, please, Maharaj.
Jinvatam Svakata Krishna
Jinvata Svakata Krishna
Punya Shravana Kirtana
Punya Shravana Kirtana
Vidyantasto Yavadrani
Vidyantasto Yavadrani
Vidunoti Suritsatam
Vidunoti Suritsatam
Thank you very much. A translation immediately. See Krishna. No, no, very good, yes, yes, yes.
How can you say no? Yes, more of this. Shri Krishna.
The personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor
of the truthful devotee cleanses the desires for material enjoyment from the heart of that devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Just to summarize the essential teaching of the verses, that the Lord, who sits in everyone's heart as the super soul, takes notice of a devotee who engages in hearing about him and personally helps him to overcome what is left on the way as an obstacle, these material desires.
It said he becomes the benefactor. This has a beautiful purpose. Messages of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna are non-different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and chanting of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Sri Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Did you hear this? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastaka, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. So we should chant, this is something new we hear, with attention and reverence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says similar things, with affectionate respect. This is reverence. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and his activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. That was earlier, in an earlier text. It was said that if one doesn't have a taste for this, chanting and hearing, one must do service to the devotees. That was discussed. By this, the taste comes. So I think we should take careful note of this, because sometimes we don't have taste. I don't know if you are also in that category. I am certainly. And I have noted that if I just burn every ounce of my energy in the service of the devotees, all of a sudden I like to sit down. I crave to sit down. I long to sit down and chant. I've noted that. It really works. Because sometimes we feel, oh, is there hope for me? I'm here at the Japa retreat. But I know when I return, I will go back most properly to either the same or similar chanting habits, which are not fully satisfying to my heart. But I will be forced to go back. No, you will not be forced. If you use a good portion of your energy in serving the devotees, you will be blessed with taste. It continues now. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. What does this mean? It means the Lord reciprocates, that means in German, erwidert, if that says something to you, the devotee's effort. In the degree a devotee serves him, in that degree the Lord also reveals himself. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere, he really means it, in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, then the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. This is now my favorite sentence of whatever Prabhupada, of all what Prabhupada wrote. If you ask me, what do you appreciate most from your 40 years of reading Prabhupada's books, then it is this sentence which comes now. So, please listen, ladies and gentlemen. This is substantial. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. It's a profound sentence. Lord is more anxious than we. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It's very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts, that means really accomplished people in the devotional line, fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. Last paragraph. I hope you still have your brain between your ears. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial. That means you can't remember when it started, this contact with the material energy. And it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
One statement. There's a statement by Prabhupada says that we should read that verse every day.
This verse?
Yeah, this verse and the next verse.
Acha, oh, please let us take note. Chandamoli Maharaj remembers the statement of Srila Prabhupada where he said that we should read this and the next verse every day. Wow. Thank you for telling us. I'm sorry. What is the next verse? I'm sorry, the number of the verse. Okay. It is in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, text 17. I mean, now I'm getting mercurial. I mean, now I will read to you also the next verse. Is that all right with you? Oh, it's a very well-known verse, you know. Some of you can even chant it with me. Nashtaprayeshu apatreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutame shloke bhaktir bhavati naishiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, And by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who's praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Thank you, Maharaj. Wonderful. Thank you so much for notifying us of this. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskadyare Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a very important verse, as we have heard, because of its very important statement, which explains something of the nature of bhakti. That is the relationship between Krishna and his devotee. When Krishna sees that the devotee becomes very serious, when he has developed an urge, means an inner pushing, to hear about Krishna, then Krishna sees this devotee wants to attain me, let me help him. And he helps him by removing the obstacles which lie on the path back home, back to Godhead. And that shows us a little bit the special nature of bhakti. In bhakti, on the bhakti path, we are actually contacting the greatest of all powers, the greatest strengths, the greatest of all intelligence. That is the strength and intelligence of the Supreme Lord, who rushes to the aid of his devotees. There's a collection of poems by Rupa Goswami called Padyavali, and in it appears a verse where a devotee in the spiritual world watches how all of a sudden the Lord gets up from his throne, and without even finding the time to put on his slippers, rushes to the material world to help a devotee. This poem goes like this: My Lord, I see you getting up from your throne and running. You ignore your sandals. You ignore your devotee Vichakshana, who asked, "Can I help?" And you run and run. It must be that one of your devotees needs you. This is the Bhakti Shloka. It must be that one of your devotees needs you. So Krishna is very, very, Prabhupada says, he reciprocates with his devotees in this world. Especially when he sees that they have really developed this inner desire. This inner desire to hear. And then it is Krishna who becomes active in revealing what the devotee needs to know. I have here with me a letter from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about this. Someone came to him and asked him, when will I be able to realize that the holy name is directly Krishna? When will this come, this realization? When will you reveal yourself? And he says that one can realize that when the offenses are destroyed in the heart. Therefore, in the work Harinam Chintamani, we heard about the aparadas and how they act in covering the sun of the holy name. And I would sincerely request you to make yourself more familiar with this subject. There are a couple of books out on this subject which you can read. There is one by Mahanidhi Maharaj, The Art of Chanting, and there are other books out which are available on the market in the Croatian language. There is a book called The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name. I can't really speak about that book so much because no gentleman will speak about his own writings. So now he says, when one chants regularly while making an attempt to decrease and to give up the offenses, all anattas, means the clouds of ignorance, the clouds of offenses, are gradually, by and by, dispelled, finished. And then Krishna's form, but also his qualities and pastimes, are naturally revealed in one's heart. And the way this happens is that first, while you chant, you begin to understand very clearly that you are not the body. You just see that there is something about me which is at this moment still an unknown for me. I have the distinct feeling that I am actually separate from the body and the mind, and the pleasures of the body miseries of the mind, of the body, are not my pleasures and not my miseries. And the chanter totally understands what goes on in my mind while I chant, dryness or a feeling of elatedness is like happiness, that is not what I really experience. I'm different from this. It's something you sit and you chant, all of a sudden the world around you changes, the world of matter. And you see, you are in this body and in this mind. And at that time, when your heart is purified from the misconceptions of who you are, and you can understand, I'm an eternal servant, you actually make a very concrete connection with Krishna. It's described that Krishna's form appears to you frequently in your mind. You think frequently of Krishna until you experience what Haridas Thakur describes here. In a very short time, he says, that is when a devotee chants without offenses, the Lord's name, form and qualities are seen. You actually see that. And you see it as one. It comes together in one person. As the devotee chants the holy name, all three, name, form and quality, manifest. And then all of a sudden, this still form of Krishna appearing with his beauty and with his smile before your eyes. You just
see it. It's, he's a living personality. That means he has qualities. His beauty is there. His fragrance is there. All this starts to move. Krishna starts to dance on your tongue, as Rupa Goswami says. At that time, the Bhakta dances, Krishna dances, and Bhakti dances, and a dance of love. You feel it moves then, joyously, energetically, enlivening you to such a degree that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my feet cannot stand still any longer. It's not possible. I have to move. It's so ecstatic. It's so ecstatic.
Krishna.
Sorry, you have to be careful to not get carried away here. This is possible. It is possible if you simply follow this little advice of Harinam Chintamani. It's not very complicated. That is, you attempt, really you work seriously on understanding what are the apparatas, and you remove them one by one. Then you are an expert in bhajan. If you keep on continuing apparatas, you are not expert. You are a greenhorn. But when you are really working on this, then the Lord can reveal himself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, as you know, these beautiful songs where he talks about this revelation which happens by the mercy of the Lord inside the heart. What a wonderful state. What a wonderful state I have attained while chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's so wonderful what has come to me. I can't believe it. But the realization that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna has appeared within my heart. I actually have realized that it is due to separation from Govinda that I am entangled in the network of Maya in this material world. And thus I am suffering material miseries in various ways. Yesterday I talked with a wonderful devotee, and the devotee just, it was dark, so we were all alone, no one was listening. And the devotee felt free to reveal his heart. He said, you know, it's easy for me to make a relationship to the devotees around me, but I'm really thinking deeply about it. Is it sometimes so, it is difficult to make a relationship to Krishna himself? And I said, yes. I think we all, thank you for revealing this. I also have this, that it's difficult because Krishna is beyond what we can see and what we can think. And the only way we get some information about Krishna is through two sources and gradually a third source. The first source is the scriptures who tell us about Krishna, and the second source are the devotees who talk about Krishna. But we can't see so easily. We just can hear about him. Only on the third level, Krishna reveals himself to us, and then we know. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes here, he says, I can't believe it, but it's all true. I have realized I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and I'm only separated from Krishna. And this, I no longer relish material life. Now my only thought is, where should I go to find Krishna? Where should I go to find Krishna? And if we hear such a devotee, will stop everyone. Sharangataku. Can you tell me where Krishna is? Chandamoli Maharaj, you are Maharaj. You please, can you tell me where Krishna is? And when the devotee doesn't get any answer, he goes to the trees. You stand here so long. Maybe he has passed. You know, he really wants to know. From all people whom he thinks, even trees, who he thinks can give some information.
Where should I go to find Krishna? Wonderful.
While crying in ecstasies, tears flow from my eyes like an incessant shower of rain. You know, he has now some true feelings. You know, he is no longer cold like a stone who lies for too long on the bottom of the Adriatic Sea. You know, he really has some feelings now. Now even a moment appears to be like 100 yugas. I find it very difficult to tolerate separation from Govinda. Now I just received, it was in my mail, which came from Germany, some letters which came. He said, I can't understand how this is blissful. The devotee feels separated from Krishna. And if I read these descriptions, I mean, these people really suffer. I'm not sure if I want this. And I didn't have so much time to give a long answer, but you know, you must know something about transcendental things. It's not how you think it is. There is a book called Raj Riti Chintamani, written by Vishwanath Chakravarti, about the transcendental world. They say when the Brijvasis say Murchai, he fainted, they mean he was overwhelmed in bliss. It's not like, you know, like when we faint and all the blood goes out of the brain and pain, we are on the floor. No, he's overwhelmed with bliss. And when the Brijvasis say he suffers, they mean to say he dances in ecstasy. There are different usage of words. Because it's not everything there is not like it is here. What the separation business is all about is that outside the devotee is thinking Krishna is absent, but in the heart, where by the way all spiritual realizations take place, he associates with Krishna. So, it's a little subtle. It's a little subtle. But we all know this in when a good friend, you know, talks heavy to us, he only says, I really appreciate and care for you. That's what he says. Although outwardly it goes like, you fool, why did you do this? You know, why did you elect the Republicans, you know, the Conservative Party? You don't know they will ruin Croatia, you know. And but he says he really cares. He wouldn't do that with somebody. So, have we finished the song? Here. I look in the four directions, but I find everything void. I cannot see Krishna. That's why I've gone to Vrindavan. And I now call out to you, inhabitants of Braj, please save my life by showing me the beloved Lord of Sri Radha. Accept this request of Srila Bhaktivinoda and give him your association. And then he describes how he went to Vrindavan and he chanted at the banks of the Yamuna, Kamala Sundari, And all of a sudden, you were absent-minded for a moment. And all of a sudden, as he chants with this urge, this inner pushing, he saw how Radha and Govinda appeared to him under a Kalpa Vriksha tree. So in this process of revelation, this is the point I would like to make. There are two steps, three steps actually. You chant and you purify your heart. Once your heart is more purified, you will be able to understand who you are, a soul. It will be clear to you that the ignorance is clear, the dust is clear. And at that time, you will sincerely feel an urge for Krishna. It won't be like you won't have to force yourself. And while you have this urge phase, you know, you feel something like a separation. It's like we will eat a light breakfast, and at 1 o'clock we will all have an urge to eat, and then we will have a separate, have more like a I want to eat, and then when the feast comes we can celebrate it nicely. No? So this also in spiritual life, you first must purify your heart, then comes eagerness. You realize I'm a soul and I'm missing Krishna, and from that eagerness in your heart, that longing for Krishna, Krishna reveals himself. This is how you must go about. So when you are in the purification phase, which many of us are, don't give up the process. It's good. Few came during the retreat in the middle to me and said, "Oh Maharaj, it's so heavy for me." They said, "Very good, it works. You start to wake up, and the first thing which happens when you wake up is you have to confront what is there in you." "Very good, very good, very good. I'm so mental, Maharaj." "Dobro, very good." Because it is known, if a devotee continues to go through this dry phase, then he purifies the heart and he will finally know, "Oh, I need Krishna." And then when this longing is come, only when you feel "I need Krishna" will Krishna come. If you feel "I don't need him," he doesn't reciprocate. So he has to put you in a state of need. Hare Krishna. Having said this, I want to stop here and ask for questions. But please know this is the three steps you have to learn. Purification of the heart brings longing in the heart, and then that brings revelation. So thank you very much. I want to now see if there are any questions. I will first start with questions related to yesterday's lecture and request Akura Prabhu to ask your question.
So in the Chaitanya-charitamrita Lila, at the beginning of the third chapter, which is called The Glories of Haridas Thakur, there is the description of the dealings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Damodar Pandit. So how this relates to what you said yesterday about avoiding critical mentality, criticizing, offending devotees. So Damodar Pandit used to, he seemed to always see faults, see what's wrong. So how can we understand that? And it seems that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with him.
Yes, yes. Yes, Damodar Pandit would correct the Lord even, you know. I'm very, very grateful for this question. Akura, what I have noted in spiritual life is rarely do you find something which is only. Everything needs to be balanced.
there's, for instance, we heard yesterday how we should not be a fault finder with devotees, and how we will hurt Krishna when we find when devotees are doing wrong things. So now this could mean that the wrong things which do happen in human life cannot be corrected in the Hare Krishna movement, because everyone is afraid, my God, if I criticize someone, I will make Vaishnava aparad and my bhakti plant will be uprooted. So this needs to be balanced with if there are wrongs, they must be corrected, and it must be possible that there must be a forum in which the wrong things are addressed and brought into the daylight. Therefore, in Chaitanya Bhakti, or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Damodar Pandit appears. He teaches that the wrongs must be corrected. He doesn't even stop when the Lord himself enters into a situation where he feels his good name could be compromised, and he really corrects everything. The way I understand it, how to reconcile, this is a difficult English word, I need the Croatian word for this. Yes, can you all please speak this word loud? Pomirite. Pomirite. The way how to reconcile this means to bring the two together, the two concepts, is in what Prabhupada said, if there is criticism, you know, hate the sin and not the sinner. I think Vaishnava aparad is really a feeling of enviousness towards the person of the Vaishnava. To correct someone is different. It's not feeling an enviousness towards the person, but it is the sincere desire to set things right. It's about things, not about person. It's about circumstances, situations, not about the person. Anyone who corrects needs to learn. It takes some expertise to do this, to separate the person from what he did and what he said. In other words, even if the person did something which is seen as wrong, it takes some expertise and subtlety to just to separate him and say the person is good, the activity which he has done. We first need to see if it's like I perceive it. But if it is like this, if devotees feel like that, that yes, there's some wrong, then this wrong should be corrected without hurting the person. Yeah. And that's not so easy. Yeah. That's not so easy. It's difficult. I do remember how Prabhupada had to deal with very difficult situations. You know, you have to understand, we older devotees at the time of when we were with Prabhupada were extremely young devotees. You know, now we are old men because time has moved, but the devotees were no longer than 3 or 4 or 5 years in the devotee in the society. The oldest were 10 years. Many of you are more than 10 years practicing Krishna consciousness, and obviously there were many mistakes which were done. And Prabhupada had to deal with them and correct them. And he had to make sure to not, annihilate the person or disturb the person. I remember there was one case one of our god brothers did something very wrong, socially very unacceptable, and Prabhupada had to deal with this, and he said, let me call him and talk with him privately, because if I say now something publicly, he will be destroyed, everyone will turn against him, and I don't want this, because he's such a good servant, and he didn't want to lose him. So that's by the way also how Krishna corrected Indra, corrected him privately, so that not the whole universe would turn against Indra and make a revolution, you know. Indra is the king of the universe. That's by Krishna's desire. So how to correct someone, I would say do it privately. And it's a good way to maybe ask a friend of that person to talk with him about the concerns. Because if someone is corrected publicly, like we do nowadays, he feels as if his pants are drawn from him. And he walks naked around, and you know, everyone looks at him. How would you like if you lose your dhoti? And everyone, especially the Matajis, would start it's a very embarrassing, you know. It sometimes happens in kirtan, that when it dance, I mean, it happened very often to me when I was dancing so wildly. You have no idea how wild we were dancing in the past. I mean, we were destroying the rooms in which we were dancing. They were smoldering with ashes afterwards.
Destroyed each other too.
Yeah. So, anyways, that is the idea. I think hate the sin and not the sinner, but we sometimes hate the person who we think has done something wrong, and then that person turns against us, and then things become unnecessarily complicated because the hurt egos are really interacting with each other. It's no longer the question what is best for spreading Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yesterday's class. I like to preface my question by saying that I'm not asking this question because I really know the answer, but I have some idea what the answer is. But at the same time, I need to hear more about how this is understood from maybe from your perspective, and in relationship to some, this question is quite, it's related to something that is somewhat less known, and I'll begin by saying that I
you have us all on the edge of our seat. This seems to be an interesting subject. Please continue.
It's going to bring out something.
Mm-hmm.
I read it recently in Madhavananda Prabhu's Krishna Katha Bindu,
mm-hmm.
where he explains about the effects of Vaishnava Aparad. And in the apology or in getting the, you know, complete, I'm not going to use the word forgiveness, but complete perfection of the whole, in other words, when everything is back to normal, it takes two things. And he mentions, and this is a Shastric statement, that it requires forgiveness by the person you offend, but that's only half of it. And the other one, is there any damage that was done by the offense to the person, that damage has to be compensated for also as part of the of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's two Sanskrit words. Shama is forgiveness, and then I forgot the other mm-hmm. Sanskrit term.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give some understanding of this or some example of this and how this, we don't hear so much about, you know, making amends.
Making good for the damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it familiar to you?
Yes, it is familiar with one Leela. You know, after Jagai and Madai had become reinstated and saved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one became Jagadananda and the other Madhavananda. Madhavananda, I think, isn't it? Two Anandas. Madhavananda came to Lord Nityananda and said, I've wronged so many people that I do not really even remember whom I did. I was in a drunken stupor, couldn't see, couldn't remember, and I feel I'm suffering because I have hurt people out of ignorance. And then Lord Nityananda said he should make amends, he should make good. The way to be released is that he should build a ghat for bathing, and he should be like the host in this ghat. He should clean the ghat. He should. And that's a very menial service. Service. I don't know if you know, but the bathing ghats in Bengal are what we know here as the rest rooms, you know, toilets. People go there, they go in a section and relieve themselves of nature's call, and then they go there and they shave, and the hair is there, and then they go into the river, and the bathing ghats after a full day are full of human remnants, you know. Hair is there. In some place, maybe there was an old person who could not go fast enough to really far away from the river, and there's some human pile there, and so on and so forth. So Lord Nityananda said, you make such a ghat, and you are the caretaker of this. You remove the human dirt, and this is how you serve others. And so in our scriptures it is always said, when you have made an offense, you should sincerely beg for forgiveness, and you do this by acknowledging the offense, or you say, I'm a Haridas Thakur says we should go to the Vaishnava and say, I'm a sinful wretch. What it means is you acknowledge, I did something wrong, this is what happened. And then you serve the person that is making amends. Yeah, that is an important point. But I'm very interested to, if you can find that thing of Madhavananda, and good, show me as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So both of them. Leela Purushottam, please let us. Maybe Premamurti, you can be the microphone man. I'm now. I have only looked towards the men. I hope the Matajis are. There's something going on with the Matajis. Not so. There's one Mataji. There's another one. There's man. Good. I see there are many questions. Good. So I will now go very fast. I will put on the turbo. Careful. I'm on turbo now. And you must be on turbo listening. Yes. Who is that next? Leela Purushottam.
There are some situations where it seems like devotees get offended, but it's not really offense. Like they are a little bit too sensitive or unbalanced or disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a Pujari gets something for the deities, but he doesn't use it. And then this devotee is like, oh, you have something against me. Or some other examples. There are quite few, as far as I've seen. So is it really an offense? Or you get some gift and you don't use it, and they are like, oh, you know, he doesn't like me. I've been in a situation where one devotee said, told to another, you look like German, but he was Croatian.
Quadrato, yes. They say in Spain about the Germans, they are square heads. Quadrato. Yeah. Is that really an offense? Thank you.
How far can we really be careful?
Lila Purushottam, I can answer this in two ways. You know, the word offense in Sanskrit is aparad. It means displeasing. Not pleasing someone, but doing the opposite. Now, you can displease someone in two ways. Either you do it with a conscious intent, you want to really displease them, you want to tell them, you have the idea, I will tell you something which makes you miserable. That's, of course, clearly an offense, because it's done with a conscious intent. But now comes the second type of offense. Someone takes offense. And that means you were not intending to hurt the person. There was no conscious desire, but still he takes it somehow upon himself. And you are asking about the second thing. You know, it's not so easy. You know, if you would go just by our logic, you would say, no, that's really the problem of the person. You know, it's really like there are situations where in life where someone could be displeased. You know, I had two such situations during the retreat, and I was worried, but the devotee said, well, this is a situation. No one wanted to create a displeasure in me or do something wrong. And I would be a great fool to take offense now out of nothing here and manufacture this. So But there is something, and this is described in Bhakti Ratnaka, that you do something and the devotee is displeased and you didn't mean it, and still it's an aparad. The story, I guess this very briefly, is Rupa Goswami. It's about Rupa Goswami. He sits there, meditates, and sees in his advanced state of God realization a very funny scene between Radha and Krishna. Now, while he is deeply absorbed in envisioning this beautiful sweet Leela where Krishna does something very humorous with Radharani, a Vaishnava who has a short leg, you know, one leg is very short, one is normal, comes by, and he comes limping by. And as he is just passing Rupa Goswami goes, not laugh, and the Vaishnava feels, he laughs about my short leg, you know, and my limping way. And he goes his way, and he feels hurt somehow. He knows Rupa Goswami. He feels so bad. At this moment, when he's gone, Rupa Goswami's meditation breaks, and he tries to come back, but it doesn't work.
he's so disturbed. I saw Krishna, I saw Radha, and then I was cut off. And he goes to Sanatana Goswami, how I had this wonderful darshan of the Lord, and my Lord disappeared. Sanatana Goswami says, it must have been that he's displeased with you. Displeased? Yeah, you must have made an offense against the devotee. Rupa Goswami says, I'm not aware that I did such a thing. Well, says Sanatana, who's very clever in Vaishnava dealings, you just invite all of Braj, for all the renunciants, to give them a feast. And whoever doesn't come, he is the one who you offended. So he makes a festival, and everyone comes except that limping sadhu, you know, who walks like this. And Sanatana Goswami, it's you know, everyone came except for this one sadhu. You must have offended him. Go and ask for his forgiveness. Rupa Goswami, his older brother, guru, goes and says, I'm sorry, did I do something wrong? You did not come. Oh, nothing, says the Vaishnavas. You're a great devotee, I'm small devotee. So he begins to hear something in the word. No, says Rupa Goswami. When did we see each other last? Oh no, nothing. I walked by, and I walked by the Vaishnava, says Rupa Goswami, goes like this. Oh no, I have an idea. And I thought we are not the body, but you laughed about my body. Oh, says Rupa Goswami, I was, and then he explains. He cannot really explain. I had a Leela Dasha, no one will say this. But he understood what is the problem. That story is there, and Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, who has written down the story, says the story is there to warn us to not make Vaishnava aparats. But Leela Purushottam, I have been struggling with your question. I think when someone is sensitive, so sensitive like you have described, and we all know, I just can't imagine that. I just can't, it doesn't make any sense to me. But then why is the story of Rupa Goswami there? You know, I can't imagine that Krishna punishes you when you say something, like you say something in the lecture. You know, I said, for instance, something which I feel bad about. You know, that I said something. I was in Russia and I saw that this man was dead and no one cared about him. And then I made a general statement about the Russian people. That's wrong. The Russian people are like all of us. They are good ones. They are medium ones. They are, you know, all types of characters you find, and they, and I have seen when it comes to kirtan or expressing emotions, they are much more, it's much easier for them than us Western Europeans. So, but now imagine someone would be here from Russia, a Russian devotee, and he would take offense. Sachinanda Swami doesn't like the Russian devotees. You know, is that really my... That would be a wrong conclusion, I think. So I think it's not an offense. But still, the story is there to warn us. Maharaj, I would love to... yes, briefly. Maharaj wants to say something.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
There's another example. Mm-hmm. I'll say this quickly.
the Lord Chaitanya wanted to go leave Puri and go towards Vrindavan. Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go with him, but he had taken the vow of Shetrishnaya, so Lord Chaitanya was very strong. But out of love for Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to go anyway. But Lord Chaitanya refused and left. When Lord Chaitanya got as far as Ramakali, met Rupa Goswami, and then he wanted to go to Vrindavan, somehow he turned around and went back to Puri. When he came back to Puri, everyone was surprised he had back so soon. And he said, Krishna would not let me go to Vrindavan because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit.
Oh, really? Wonderful. I didn't know that. That he said?
He said that.
It must be there in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. So the idea is that even unconsciously, there's something there that has to be avoided.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. But I really want to know, it's very important for me to balance it with what Akrura Prabhu said. Please don't become now paranoid. How do I move? I mean, if I move this way, I might hurt the person who sits here and might make an offense and uproot my bhakti lata. It's not really like this. I think the general understanding is, be careful to not hurt anyone, but uplift everyone. That should be the mood of a Vaishnava. Daya, or compassion, is the dharma of the main dharma of the Vaishnavas. This is the general understanding. Now, second statement. When there is something wrong, it needs to be corrected in a responsible forum without hurting the devotee. An aparad is a third understanding, is really usually something where you have the conscious intent to do something, or you break just Vaishnav etiquettes very unconsciously, then it's also an aparad. I really want to avoid that, you know, when after this lecture, that you don't walk as if you walk on eggs all the time. Vaishnava aparad everywhere. Ooh, I don't even know if I can speak any longer, you know, and so on. It can get like that. And our movement has been, in my understanding, correctly criticized by some, that sometimes that fearful atmosphere is brought about. It's not like this. But you see, as Vaishnavas get more subtle and subtle and subtle, they want to even avoid hurting someone who takes unconsciously. You can see it's so bad to do Vaishnava parad that we do. But for us who are not yet on the highest levels, be careful. Just have that feeling you want to help everyone, have that intention, and whatever happens on the way, and someone takes offense, like Lila Purushottam says, most probably you can't always avoid it. Hare Krishna. I had once a situation. I was in a situation and I was so full of air, and I made a svonomia. Just a small svonomia. Nothing. And someone sat next to me and he said, "You Viking, you're barbarian," and was totally offended by my svonomia. you know, what to do? Only the Croatian devotees know what is know the subtleties of tiromias and svonomias. I purposefully avoided the tiromia. Sorry for the somewhat
I'm very sorry, but Dobro, so let's get serious again. two words, you have to know these, especially when you cross the border. They will always let you leave you when you have these two words ready. They will think he's a very sympathetic and human person. So who else was there? Barbara. Barbara is here. Just there.
I'm a guest, I'm not a member of your nice community, but for me it seems it's all about consciousness, isn't it? If I make one step of the path of consciousness, shouldn't I prepare myself to take the tasks? I mean, to try a bit more confidential, to expect the unexpected, to be ready. I mean, I expect Krishna, I can, let's just go the path conscious.
yeah. Very nice point. Barbara made a very nice point. It's about being conscious on the path. Huh? Go the path consciously. Thank you very much, Barbara. Yes, I saw Godahari. Sorry, Premamurti, we make you run and jump. Don't jump on someone. Yeah.
My question, I hope it's can present the question properly. Sometimes it happens that there are some ego problems or ego struggle between devotees, and when one feels hurt, the only things he can do is to tell it to someone. This happened. And then the one who hears it becomes bad, and he also feels, I have to tell it. And he also tells to another, and just spread, and everyone get weak. And so when this hurt feelings is happening in the heart of the devotee, is it okay? Is it good to tell it to someone? Or is there another channel?
You mean the devotee who is hurt? Yeah, should he talk to someone?
Is there a way to stop this avalanche of bad energy going to everyone?
I think when a devotee is hurt, or when we are hurt, we have two ways to deal with this hurt responsibly, that it goes and evaporates. One is recommended by in the scriptures, that you understand this had to come. It's a reaction of my previous karmic activities, and it's a karmic reaction that is very philosophical understanding. You cannot suffer ultimately if you have not caused it yourself. So this verse is there, Tatenu Kampam Shushumikshamanam. You take full responsibility for everything which happens in your life and understand its karma. And in order to deal with this, you go now on a transcendental platform, leave the hurt and so on away, and just surrender to Krishna with your body, your mind, with your words, and make a divine connection, and there you are safe, and the energy of the karma dissolves. That's one way for the more advanced devotees. For those who are maybe not yet so transcendentally capable of doing this, what they can do is they need to find a Vaishnava friend and talk with a friend, and there it gets released. I have done yesterday. We had this
exercise, remember, where you had to invite the person who hurt you on a chair next, opposite to you, and you had to confront the feeling which you had. Now, I talked with the devotee afterwards, and the devotee told me he could not feel anything bad towards that devotee, not towards that person. He couldn't get into the exercise. But then he told me of two incidences where a devotee hurt him, and you could feel how he was talking to me, that this was still in his subtle body. You know, it was he in the exercise he couldn't confront it, but when there was an opportunity to talk, he could reveal his mind in openness. And usually this is the forum where this can happen. When something I have seen, when something happens and you need to be released from whatever you have, it's not good to go now talking to all kinds of people and create this avalanche of negative energy. But what is good is to go to a Vaishnava friend, talk with him, and once you talk it out, it somehow gets evaporated. It's gone, the energy. That is how important Vaishnava friends are, with whom you can talk about these things. And these friends will understand that it should be between the two of you, because if it goes all over the universe, you know, it becomes something like Stille Post. Your Stille Post means someone says to someone, the person adds a little something to it, says to someone, then to someone. How do we say Stille Post? There is a Kaputsky telephone. The Kaputsky telephone. The Kaputsky telephone, yeah. Kaputsky, isn't it? Yeah. Wow, I know Croatian.
Aha. Deaf telephone.
Deaf telephone, not kaput. Yes, okay. Vaishnava, this is very important to sometimes relieve ourselves in Vaishnava association, then it's gone. For these good friends are the Blitzableiter, you know. The Blitzableiter means we have here in the hotel these wires which go like this, and when the flashing comes, choop, it goes there, and the wire directs it into the ground, and it doesn't destroy a house any longer. So these, what are they? Lightning conductors, they are called in English. Blitzableiter in Deutsch. Ne? This happens in Vaishnava association. You talk with someone, and then the negative energy goes in the floor, and it's gone. I have this personal experience. Friends are very important in that way. Premamurti.
This is connected with the Guru Hari's question, and it's a general question, but I will use example of marriage. When a husband and wife have a fight, disagreement, and usually it's a 50-50, you know, like, problem, and they have their perspective of you, and they are speaking, they have their friends, and you know, and the friends are sympathetic, and they, you know, like, want to sympathize to them, and then everybody is for one person or for the other. How to properly do it, you know, in that situation? Then this criticism also happens, you know, that they are criticizing the criticizer, and then, you know, how to properly deal with that?
Yeah. Now, you gave a very, very clean example, husband and wife, but what when two old devotees struggle like this? It's happening, there's conflicts in yatras, two sides are there, and it spreads the conflict, all of a sudden the whole congregation is conflicted, and it's a mess, you know, it's really bad. I can only say, I'm not so expert maybe, but you know, the energy of
this agreement is very strong in Kali Yuga between husband and wife, between devotees and so on, can easily happen. And I feel this disagreement must be given a place to we must talk about it. And then it can be solved, but it must be done in a responsible frame. I would like to give you an example. Fire can be very dangerous if it spreads. But if it is kept within the oven or the, how do you say it in English? Kamin? What do you, kamin, you understand? Fireplace. In the fireplace. It can even be very good. I have noted how good it is. You know, I have servants often. Servants, it sounds as if I'm, you know, I need assistance to do what I do. There, I say, you do the driving, you take care of this part, I take care of this part, you take care of this part. And sometimes we are so intensely, the service is so intensely, I'm flying in 2 days to 5 different countries, and it's really like boiling. And then this energy gets often spilled to the servants and the assistants, and they shake, my God, and I have found out when this is discussed at the fireplace, that means in this case amongst the assistant and me, it is so healthy, it is so good, it creates such a good positive energy, but if it spills out somewhere, for instance, it has not happened, but imagine the assistant tells, oh, Satchidananda Swami is too much. He just travels too much, and he, I'm burning just next to him. Then by the Kaputsky telephone, you know, something would come out of it if it put it. So it needs to be discussed, but in the place, everything is good in its place. Even aggression is good in its place. Even lust is good in its place when children are created. Everything is good in its place, but once it gets out of the place, it can create destruction. Especially this conflict energy. I think it is not bad if there is disagreement. It means there are people who think, who have identifications with projects and so on. That is normal. And who are a little fired up about the project. But it must be done in the... it must be kept at the proper place.
Like dialectic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also husband and wife. So they quarrel. That is normal. You can't just enjoy in a Grihastha ashram. There will be quarrel. You know, there will be honey and blood in not as bad, but but it must be kept in the between husband and wife, and maybe a trusted friend or trusted when there is some other person.
Thank you very much. In this first answer, it was very deep. I just wanted to ask you, you know, when this spills out.
Spills out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which attitude should the persons around have? Because they are also responsible for this Vaishnava apparatus and everything. So how, which attitude should it be there?
They should put the thing back into the place. I want to give you a very the energy back where it belongs and should be dealt with. I want to give you an example. When you give lectures like Chandramouli Maharaj and myself, one after the other, often devotees come and ask the question and say, so and so Maharaj said this. And the way they say it is, it can't be like that, you know. Please comment. Now, if I would say, this Maharaj does know the philosophy, he is a Sahajiya, he is a Bababab, you know, then it would be terrible. I would, what spilled out of this dialogue, I would take it and make it
and now the fire would spread. I would say, and then everyone, Sachinandan Swami said, that Maharaj is a terrible Maharaj, you know, and so on. What I must say is, oh, he said this. I do not know. Best is you go to him and ask him about this. Then I put the fire which came just out. I stopped it from becoming a forest fire. Do you have this forest fire? How do we say here? Shumsky. Poja. Yes. This is a great problem here in the Adriatic coast. Huh? I would start the forest fire. But if I say, he said like this, there must be some reason. I don't know his reason at this moment. You go to him and you discuss it with him. That's the way how to put the fire back in a fireplace. That's the way to deal responsible. So if it comes to us that there is a group of devotee fighting and it comes to us, we shouldn't jump immediately and also in the fight. I know, have you read Asterix and Obelix in Croatia? Whenever people are fighting in that village, they come and they bring their hammers and the whole village is fighting, you know. We Vaishnavas shouldn't be like that. Neela Kamali, you also know Asterix and Obelix? A little bit, yeah. I have read many volumes of Asterix and Obelix. Valanandini. And then I saw our Matati, maybe you can have a talk already to Ananda Vrindavan Champu and tell her your question. Because it needs translate. Yes.
So, it's in the psychology of human beings, and you're also telling us this, that when you feel loved, for instance, when children feel loved when they're growing up, then the best things can come out of them. And this I relate to practicing Krishna consciousness. And then, for instance, in my life when I practice, I see how many mistakes I have. And then I think, oh my God, I did so many aparads. And oh my God, I cannot chant offenselessly. So naturally, I think Krishna will not really accept me because we hear that Krishna is then displeased with us. And it creates kind of a mood of, oh, I'm never going to make it really, because we also heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it can take millions of births, you know, if you chant with offenses, if you make aparadas, to receive the mercy. And then I read in a book of one Vaishnav, it's Vinod Bihari Baba, who writes that when we lose our faith and hope and enthusiasm in Krishna, that we can make it even in this life, that is a trick of Maya to trick us to not be enthusiastic about, I can make it, and Krishna will love me and accept me, and so on. So can you say something about this? Because it's really, you know, we hear so many things, and we also see our mistakes, but how to have, you know, how to be hopeful when we are feeling hopeless.
I want you all to look at Dharmagup and Aryan, the little gentleman with a very photogenic head. What is the chance for Aryan? He only will be able to grow up if his father and mother love him, isn't it? If his father and mother don't love him, he will die, even though he has this most photogenic head in the universe. We are in a similar situation. Only if we feel loved by Krishna can we grow up. And but we sometimes think, especially when we talk about aparadhas, that how can the Lord love me? One devotee friend of mine said, he thinks
I think our greatest problem is that we think God has abandoned me, abandoned, given me up because of my disqualifications. That kills the growth, that kills the thing. And I'm very interested in my life to know, does Krishna really love me? This is very much my question, and I think he does. There is this very, very telling Leela which shows how Krishna really feels towards his devotees. There was one of his devotees, Indra, who had attacked Krishna's dearest devotees, the Brajbasis, by, it's a long story, you most of you know, with the intention to kill them, really. And when he finally saw his mistake and arrived at Krishna's lotus, arrived before Krishna, he was expecting Krishna would now show his anger towards him. But he was surprised when Krishna accepted him, because Krishna doesn't have a place in his heart for the faults of his devotees. That's his qualification. He does not meditate about the faults. Meditate is not the word. He does not think about the faults of his devotees. That's his character. He only sees the good of his devotees. And he dealt like this with Indra. He said to him, Indra, you have come all this long way on foot to ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry to trouble you so much. And Krishna deals with his devotees like this. And there are songs about this. Adosha Nitai, or Nitai Nityananda, who never sees the mistakes of the faults of others. He just doesn't see them. It doesn't mean we should continue to give them. Look at little Ayan. Ayan will make many faults. He will not know when to pass water at the right time. I think Dharmagop is fully equipped. He has a waterproof pants on. Ayan. He will, you know, be cranky at times. He will disturb in the lecture. He will do many things. But the father just doesn't see this as mistakes. In fact, when Ayan will start talking, Hare Krishna. when the child will start talking, even a little bit, you think, my child is talking. Ayan just needs to say woo, and father goes double, more of this nectarian discussion, please. He will see it like this. In the same way, Krishna sees this. There's only one thing when this reciprocation stops, when this mercy stops, and that is when the devotee becomes proud. And because by this proud, this is in the Brahmanda Purana, the devotee builds a wall between him and Krishna. A wall made of aham and mameti, I and mine. At such a time, the devotee sends a clear signal, I and not you. You know, am important. This is when Lord Chaitanya appeared. Advaita Acharya asked him for a blessing which would form the whole essence of Chaitanya Bhakti. He said, give love of Godhead even to the most fallen, but withhold it from those who are proud.
So if someone is fallen and he still remains proud and prideful and not accessible, then the mercy cannot come to him. It's not even because of Krishna, it's because he has built the wall. It's even said sometimes to be fallen is a qualification to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What that means is that someone understands I'm fallen and is not pridefully thinking I'm not fallen and I'm great. It's, you know, God's vision is entirely different than ours. And I learned that from a desert father. Desert father, this means priests who go into the desert. This is so beautiful. I may have told it to you already, but there was a racial strife in Algeria. The Algerians were killing the tourists and everyone who was not belonging to the Islam confession. So in Algeria there are deserts, and in the old times there were desert fathers, monks who went into there to be totally alone with them, with God. No? So there was one who had heard that there was some unrest in the Algerian population, and he felt, most probably I will be killed like so many others because I'm not a Muslim person, I'm a Christian monk. So those who are sensitive, they always know when their death is coming. Many know. I know Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj knew. He told me personally it will come in 3 or 4 days. And they know. Dhammakrishna Maharaj knew when it would come. He said, I'm going back home. That's what he said before he went into the car where he had this fatal accident. You know. So they know. So this monk also knew, and he thought, let me already write a letter which will be my last message. And he wrote in the letter, I really hope that God will grant me the vision that when those who come to kill me, that I will see them just as God sees them, as children, as his children, the God's children. They're very beautiful. Yeah. So a few days later, he was found, he was dead, he was killed by knife, and the letter was found next to him. And it was a statement to the world. So this is God. God sees every one of us. Like, he sees our individual stories. He understands. And he somehow loves us like a father loves the children, despite all their faults. On our side, we should not take advantage. We should say, on our side, well, I give my best, you know. But God's vision is like this. I like this very much. There is a Sanskrit verse which says, in the heart of Lord Krishna is no place for the mistakes of his devotees. It just cannot go inside because no place. It's already full with love for his devotees. Hare Krishna. Govindanandan. Or did we say, yes, Govindanandan, and then, we said Mirjan first, and she is already waiting for long. Mirjan, it's Mirjan, right?
How do you know if God is coming? How to remove offenses which we make in our minds, even if unwilling, like against our will, and which is the consequences of these kind of offenses, and how to. And which is the consequences of these kind of offenses.
Mm-hmm. You must know that there are always two types of perspectives. There are millions of more, but two categories. One is the aparavicca, the apparent perspective, and the other is the tattva, the transcendental perspective. And so when we have problems with others, it's always on the material, the apparent, the way it appears perspective. And we can dissolve these problems by looking at from a different perspective on the thing that is the transcendental perspective. I want to give you an example. Let me give the example of rain. Rain on a tourist island. All the tourists go, oh, it rains. My summer is full of rain. I can't bathe properly. There's not enough sun. But there's another perspective. You would just say, oh, finally, the fields get nice water and the cucumbers can grow. It's a relief for nature and a relief for the plants and the agriculture. It's a different perspective. All of a sudden, you like you have a different perspective with the rain. So when some problem is there amongst the devotees, you can see, you have to change the perspective and see how this can either help you to grow by seeing your own mistakes, how this problem can also is really not a problem because you are an eternal soul, but only if you are identified with the ego do you see it as a problem, and so on. What I do when I see something, a devotee, then I always try to understand what Prabhupada said when he was writing one of his last commentaries and then put down the pen, so to say, and left the body. He said to understand that everything and everyone moves under the control of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So I want to recommend you to change the perspective in such cases, and when you have another perspective, you see it. Now, when you have a bad thought about someone in your mind, in Kali Yuga, it is such that it does not count. Only in other yugas, in other ages, even a bad thought would bring karmic reaction. Not in Kali Yuga, because we would be lost, you know. We would destroy universes if our thoughts would have such a consequence. You know, it doesn't count. But you should know, if you continue to be negative, it works against you. You will develop diseases when you have a negative thought. You should clear the negative thought garbage quickly out of your pure mind. You know, and often if you entertain negative thoughts, they will manifest in negative words and later into negative actions. But there is no direct karmic consequence on the negative thought. Thank you very much. I think we will come to our last question now. It is Govinda Nandan. Yes. Hare Krishna.
My question is like, we can deal with what happens, but it's hard to deal with the interpretation of that what happens. Someone has an interpretation of what happened, and we discussed recently something, and there was one sentence that I think is also nice, and I would like if you can comment that we judge others but by their action, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. Mm-hmm. So, if you can comment a little bit, this what happens in our interpretation and this judging ourselves and others in different ways.
I'm at the end at the moment of my brain power. There is not enough electricity going. I have understood what you said, so I will try to give a simple answer. We judge others by their actions and we judge ourselves by our intentions. If I can comment on this. One thing you must know, every human being, because you are a psychologist, I will now say something which makes you also challenges your electricity in your brain power. Always needs to feel my intention is good in order to do something. So I feel you can't judge yourself by intention, by that paradigm, because you will always deceive yourself. You need to do this to do anything. I only want the best. That's why I act like this. Why does no one understand me? But the intention, your intention and your wish may have to be elevated. You may have to listen to other advices and see what you don't see at the present moment. This would be my comment. To this statement. I cannot, in other words, totally agree with this statement. But I now want to bring it all together. We had a long session now, and I want to put it into a can now so that you can take it out of this room. My dear devotees, we were discussing mostly about yesterday's lecture, where we heard how Vaishnava apparat is not good. No? The fact that the questions were really so much on this shows me that here is an area where we are really as a community a little bit challenged. Just the And there are so many more hands up here, so many more questions on this. Because as a community, I feel, I have seen the proof now that you are all thinking about this. Because it is here where a lot of pain, a lot of energy, let me say negative energy, or it is in this area. And this shows me clearly, as a visitor to your country and to this community and to the Hare Krishna movement, I'm also part of it, but I am now saying I'm visiting it, that you are very much thinking about this. The Eskimos talk a lot about snow. They have 60 different names for different kinds of snow. White snow, super white snow, super, super white snow, melting snow, half melted snow, fully melted snow, snow, ice like snow, fruit like snow, 60 altogether, 60 or more, 60 plus, depending on how intellectual the Eskimos are. So we are very much thinking about this situation, that situation, another situation, and still another situation. And this brings us down to a general recommendation. It's safest to cure all this, to be a kind well-wisher of everyone. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the main dharma of Vaishnavas, the main thing of Vaishnavas is compassion.
compassion with others, understanding them. For compassion, you need to practice something like empathy. If this is a difficult word, Akrura can tell you much more. He's much more knowledgeable about these terms, which are necessary when you coach someone to a better, higher level. You have to be able to see the world through that perspective, to be compassionate. This is the main practice in relationship to others. And even a compassionate person is compassionate even to those who are not to him. I know in Buddhism there's a lot of talk about compassion. There was once a reporter who asked the Dalai Lama, after the Dalai Lama got the Nobel Prize, Peace Nobel Prize, why do we never hear that you attack the Chinese for all the wrong things which they did towards you? You seem to not even to not take a revengeful attitude to the Chinese government. The Dalai Lama said, should I allow the Chinese to take the last thing which they have not yet taken? My compassion. It's important for us to act a little nobly and be compassionate, kind, and Krishna with. And then we will not ask, then we don't have 60 types of Vaishnav's problems any longer. That compassion, I learned that from Jaiva Dharma. I was surprised. The sentence started, the main Dharma of Vaishnavas. And I thought, well, it means chanting Hare Krishna or something. That's the Sanatana Dharma, the eternal things. But and then he said, it's to show compassion. I think every conflict can be solved by this word, compassion. Willing to think what the other side thinks and feel empathy, feel for them. I think there is only one problem, the lack of compassion and the increase of ego, which makes all these problems. Take this word, please, with you. We've now put all this. Main Vaishnav Dharma is compassion. Mitgefühl in Deutsch. I thank you very much for this question and answer session. I hope we have all survived it, because it's a lot of concentration which we have to put when so many questions come and so many answers. I hope there was something useful for you. It's now very important for me to tune you in. You will now have a actually, that is Banu Nandini's part, because I don't really even know what happens for you. But I want to say again, take good care of yourself. You have no workshop, nothing going on except for a glorious feast. Chandramouli Maharaj and myself we will sit with all of you. I heard there is something special happening, a celebration. I don't know what, but I know it will be Briganda-like. So up till you are more or less no retreat things are going on up till 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, when the sun goes down, it's nice and cool, and a fresh breeze goes there. We all request you to come for the session and accept your gift from the retreat, which will come when you chant. I will tune you. I will say something in the beginning to tell you how to open your hands for your gift, so that Krishna can put it in your hands. Good. I will. Banu Nandini, please give us an idea of what exactly happens, when, where, how.
Hare Krishna. Can we have one applause for Sachinanda Maharaj?